you for joining us for the Help for Wounded Spirits broadcast. We exist to help those wounded and suffering through life's trials. Here is our host and best-selling author, Doug Carriger.
Great to be back with you. We certainly hope this finds you well and in the arms of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a subject we get to go and study. We've been looking at the life of Christ doing a verse-by-verse study, and it's just been so exciting, and God's been so good to us through that, and thank you for that, and it's been passionate, and boy, we almost go over time, but we didn't. We hung in there yesterday, and as Kevin was quoting a couple other books of the Bible dealing with that same miracle. We know that in Mark it talks about one person. We know we see it in Matthew and Luke. We see a lot going on, but we do know this. If there were enough demons coming out of just one guy in the book of Mark chapter 5 to go into a couple thousand swine, you can imagine what the devil can do to a life with an unprotected heart. Have a protected heart, dear friends, and that's accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. At the end of this episode, you'll hear how to go ahead and do that. Make sure you get a hold of us if you have to. We still have Kevin with us. He's down there in Florida. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, sir, from a sunny Florida today.
How are you, man? Everything all right?
Yeah, man, I'm blessed. I'm just so thankful. Yeah, I got going out with some first responders tonight. Amen. To go around to three more fire stations. We did that last week. And yeah, it's a pretty cool thing when you get to, you know, go boots on the ground with people that are boots in the fire.
You know, our God is an awesome God allowing that to happen. Thankful for it. That Kevin is faithful enough to just go park his coach down there in Ocala, Florida, and hang out there. I'm thankful for that. Pray for Kevin as you hear this. And he might still be in Florida, or he might be in Greenville by the time you hear this, but we'll make sure we keep you up on things. Today, we're going to be talking about faith in action. We're going to be talking about another miracle, the curing of the paralytic. And I think it's a really good one. And I came up with this faith in action, and you're going to see it within there. It's, you know, for instance, in James 2:24, let me explain it using Bible verses. But you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. So let me say this, you're saved, 100% saved, but through faith, through the grace of God, by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. In Hebrews 11:6, we know that without faith, the Bible says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So I want to say this to you. So we get saved by faith through the grace in Jesus Christ. But because of that, we put that faith into action. Because of that, we hop in. Because of that, because God loved us so much and saved us, Kevin's parked down there in Ocala, Florida. Because of that, my schedule looks like akin to the White House schedule for, you know, the First Lady to go around. I mean, it's just packed starting next week. And we do that. Not because we get saved by it. Now we've already been saved. We do it because we want to put faith in action. So how do you put faith in action? Well, first of all, you got to get saved. You got to believe in God's existence. You got to trust in him. You got to accept him. The Bible says, it tells us to, that you must speak it with your mouth and believe it with your heart. And it even goes on to say the heart speaketh unto righteousness. So it's not something we just idly say, but faith in action begins when we accept Jesus Christ. We got to have confidence in God's promises. You know what happens when you get saved and you start praying and you start reading the Bible? You get a biblical faith that's cool. A biblical faith that can take you through the bad times, take you through the good times, a biblical faith that can change marriages, a biblical faith that can change lives, a biblical faith, it just results in a completely transformed character, I believe, a completely transformed life. It's having that obedience and then persevering in trials. All that is faith in action, saying, I'm going to trust God. I'm not sure why we're in this trial. I'm not sure why we're broke right now. I'm not sure why everything's breaking down right now. I'm not sure why my partner's not serving God the way they should, but I'm trusting in God. And boy, perseverance. Read about the martyrs in Revelation. It'll bring you to where you're going, Kevin. And I'm so glad that we get to see faith in action.
Yes, sir. Boy, as you're talking, my mind's going so many different ways about this. This whole subject is a great subject. You know, the word arise came to my mind. Rise up, rise, arose. The scriptures over and over say, well, record God telling his kids, arise, do this, arise, do this. And he rose up early in the morning and did it. You know, he did the, a lot of it's rise up early. In fact, it's said of God that he rises up early and sending them. He sends prophets rising up early and sending them, meaning not that God slumbers or sleeps, but God gets on it. And the prophets then rise up early that he sends. You know, this is the way it is. The first mention of anything having to do with arise is Genesis 13, 17. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. That was Abraham being told by God, or Abram being told by God. And, you know, you can't miss the fact that he had a promise of God that God was going to make him a nation and give him some land. And then when he said, arise and walk through, every place that the sole of your foot will step on, I will give to you and your children. That's faith in action, because the less he would walk, the less they would get. And the more action to, you know, remember, God said, look at the sky. If you can count the stars, you will be able to count your seed. And Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. That was faith. And then from faith came action. Yeah. And God said, all right, take a walk. Boy, that was a big walk, because they, you know, Israel, the whole land of Palestine, a lot more than they have right now. But the nation of Israel was given land according to the faith in action of old Abram there. And, you know, it's that way with us. When, you know, Jesus is talking about different times in the New Testament, I'm going to go to the cross, and it's going to be tough. You guys are going to have a tough time. Some of you are going to, they're going to kill you and this and that. And then next thing you know, he says, arise, let us be going. That's in John 15. The end of 14 and then into 15. And he said, I'm the vine, you're the branches, right after that. But, you know, he's just talking kind of in the middle of the whole reality check. He says, okay, now let's take a walk. And that is how God works. I'm reminded of the necessity of this. Years ago, there was a man named Dwight Lyman Moody, D.L. Moody, famous Amen. Guy. Most people listening here would have heard him. And he was quite the street preacher in the beginning. You'd go to the place where there was kids. And so he was out in the street corner. He brought his buddy Ira Sankey with him. Ira Sankey was just a business dude, worked a job. And Ira would sing, and then Dwight would preach. And a lot of guys would get saved. And he began preaching on a street corner, and crowd gathered around. Ira sang, and Dwight began, Moody began crying and weeping. And then people, the police came and said, I'm sorry, you're going to have to go somewhere else. You're just blocking traffic. So he went to another street corner. The same thing happened. I think he went to a third corner, from what I heard. The same thing happened. Finally, he went to, they found an empty meeting hall that was just there. And they went into it and began preaching, and again weeping, and people flocking. And eventually someone came in and said, you need to go, this has been rented. And so they kicked him out, and he was being kicked out and displaced because there was someone else who had rented it, because they were going to hold a meeting there on how to reach the multitude. And it was some dead church that was going to, you know, sit around and talk about it. Not that that's wrong to do, but it was just ironic, was it not, that Moody was out there reaching the multitude while others were wanting to talk about it. And I think if you got a choice, put shoe leather on your Christianity more than lip leather. Yeah. Let your shoes do the smacking on the pavement rather than your lips smack together. it's got to be an action. Faith without working or without works is dead. That is post-salvation faith without works is useless on an earthly level. And man, I just want to make sure that my faith is active. If my body ever can't move, I want my faith to move, Doug.
Oh, that's good, brother. I can't help but think of the story of Hudson Taylor I heard many years ago. And Hudson Taylor, you know, hopped on a ship to go to China. And as they sailed, and you probably heard about this before, Kevin, but as they sailed, they ended up right off an island with cannibals, and the wind completely died down. And the waves were pushing this ship into cannibals, where they were certainly going to be supper. And they went to Hudson Taylor and said, "You're a godly man, pray." And he said, "I'll pray when you put up the sails," he said, "because we both got to put action into this." And they laughed at him, but finally they put up the sails. He went to the stateroom and got on his hands and knees begging God, and he heard a knock on the door, and he said, "Yes, may I help you?" He said, "Stop praying. We got too much wind that we can handle." Oh, folks, I'm telling you, you got to have faith in action. Faith in action. You got to trust God. Put up the sails. Be ready for it. And hey, listen, we'll be right back with you. Don't go anywhere.
Return shortly. Meanwhile, you're hearing this music while radio stations are identifying themselves and broadcasting advertisements.
Friends, put up the sails. Put up the sails. That was great, Brother Kevin. Hey, here we go now as we look at this miracle. I love looking at these miracles. I love talking through these things with you guys. Mm-hmm. And this is a highlight of Brother Kevin and my day when we get an opportunity to do a broadcast like this. And
yes,
thank you so much for tuning in. We find ourselves, and so as we look at this miracle in Matthew 9, 18 through 26, "Well, he spake these things unto them. Behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him and told his disciples, And behold, a woman with disease with the issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, If I may touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about when he saw her. He said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And Jesus came into the ruler's house, and he saw the minstrels, people just there to cry and pray and put on a good show, and the people making a noise. And he said unto them, Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose, and the fame hereof went all abroad above the land. I'm thinking about what's going on here. And right away, I mean, here's this guy, this ruler coming to Jesus. Word's getting around. He said, My daughter is dead, but there's one chance. And that one chance is Jesus. And folks, when we get to a place in life where we say there's one chance, and that one chance is Jesus, I'm telling you, man, that's when your knees hit the floor. That's when your prayer gets real. And so here's this girl who's dying. He's ready to go visit her, to be with her. And just then this woman said, Man, I've been bleeding. I've been hemorrhaging for 12 years, and he's going to help this little girl. I got to get to Jesus. I got to get to him. And she runs up and grabs, and she says, Man, if I could just touch him, I know he could make me whole. Can you imagine all the doctor's appointments? Can you imagine all the witch doctors? Can you imagine all the things in her life saying she was evil because she continually hemorrhaged, because she continually had this thing that ladies get once a month? And can you imagine the things that went through her head, the oppression, the depression? But she heard that Jesus was around. And she said, you know, I'm going to go touch the hem of his garment. I'm going to go find our Lord. I just want to get better. I want to stop bleeding. I want to have a normal life. And here's this little girl who's dead, and she's running up. Just let me touch him. Just let me touch him. And so we see some things. I think there's a lot going on. The woman's faith in touching his garment, that's what resulted in healing. It wasn't that she touched the garment. We don't have to find a piece of his garment in France somewhere and pay $125 to touch the glass where it's stored. Stop it. It's not that. It's the faith. Jesus once again showed his authority over death. But you know, there's a couple responses going on here again. So, you know, this woman approaches Jesus in total faith and she gets healed. But remember, he goes to Jairus's house and they ridiculed Christ. And there's always going to be ridiculing of Christ going on. There's always going to be those things going on. And I'll tell you, I got to believe in my mind, I got to believe that we just trust God. We just have total faith. We step out and we can apply that. We just got to persist in our faith, folks. We got to keep on trusting God's timing. We got to respond in faith to the things that go on in our life. And you know what? When we witness Jesus' power, proclaim it, testify about it, tell the world what God has done in your life, Kevin. I think it matters.
Yeah, it matters very much. That's so good. Well, we talked about faith in action at the beginning of the broadcast, but how much more can this be illustrated in this woman? Because she had this terrible issue all these years. And when Jesus came around, she put action. She said, I'm not going to stand here on the curb and just wave to him as he goes by and say, oh, I got to see Jesus, you know, and kind of just go through the motions of saying, wow, wasn't that something? You know, kind of treat him like a celebrity, like, wow, the one that is healing people, I actually got to wave to him, you know, or he signed my autograph. I signed his autograph, help. But what she did is, no, she came up with a plan. And in her mind, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, she just had heard somewhere along the line that he was like, put, you know, touching people, and he blessed the children, you know, put his hands on them, and he put his hands on the blind man's eyes, and he'd spit and do this. And she's just like, man, just give me something, some kind of a shred of contact. It need to make contact. It needs to be a transacting of something from Jesus to my problem. And that was a great decision for her to make. And I can't help thinking, how many people with deep needs that were their lives are being ruined by, oh, everything from hemorrhaging to financial overturns to marital problems to kids that were there that day in the crowd. It says there was a massive crowd. And they just waved as he went by and, you know, took a hanky and went, hello, Jesus. Hello, Jesus. Oh, I think he looked my way. Oh. And it reminds me, years ago, there was a guy in California, Robert Schuller, at the Crystal Cathedral. I lived in California, so, you know, I had a little conversation with the guy. Another story, virtually, it was done online, but I asked him what he believed about sin, and he was like, well, lack of self-esteem. And anyway, oh, it's in death and hell. It was whacked out. But anyway, people would call in to hear him, and they would just like cry, oh, thank you, because he would bless them with some flowery possibility thinking words. And they were like, oh, thank you, this is wonderful. And, you know, it's kind of the same way people treat Jesus today. They go to church, they put in their time, but they don't connect with Jesus. How many people don't make a connection? They don't. Something's lost in the translation. They're bothered. Some of their children are fouled up. They're struggling with this and that, but they don't, like, you know, go forward. If you know, the church that has an invitation, praise God for it. If you can go forward, when you just, not that that's necessary, but it's a way to say, Lord, I'm serious. I'm putting faith into action. You know, he that believeth in him should not be ashamed. So the faith that is not ashamed is what this woman did. And she stepped out in front of everybody, said, I don't care what people think about me. And Jesus then made it point that she would be visible when he said, who touched me? He knew who touched him. And when she came trembling and said, you know, me, he said, woman, great is thy faith or whatever. So it was pretty cool that just in this one miracle, we see that it's not enough to just stand on the sidelines and let in your mind Jesus exist. You've got to connect with him and put action to it. Like, talk to someone that knows God. If you're struggling, get with someone that knows God and say, man, I'm struggling. I had a guy ask me last week, how do you deal with doubts of salvation? I said, well, I don't diss you and I don't assume you're lost, because I've had doubts as a Christian before and God gave me wonderful victory. So, yeah, just go to someone. Dude, go to Jesus. Get a hold of the things of God. God will show up.
Yeah, that's so good. And friends, I got to tell you, man, we get to serve a God, and it's so significant that we put the faith in him into action and the things he does in our life and just trust him and step out. You want to make sure you come back tomorrow. We're going to talk about the contrast and responses as we go in. We're going to look at a more collective look at the woman with the issue of blood. We're going to dig in and spend some time there. Hey, listen, friends, I recommend a couple things to you. I told you to watch The Chosen. I want to recommend that you do Bible reading every day. Find yourself a good Bible reading program. Perhaps Brother Kevin or I can find a good one and post it on our Facebook page, Helpful Wounded Spirit, so you can follow. You can catch up. Just start today right where you're at. We sure do love you. Hey, wear that smile that only God can give you.
Thank you for listening to our broadcast. At Help for Wounded Spirits, we believe the Bible and place great importance on you having a personal relationship with your Lord and Savior. The Bible delivers a clear and simple message of salvation, outlining how you can begin your personal relationship now. First, recognize that you are a sinner, as all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, understand that there is a cost to our sin, as the wages of sin is death. Third, realize that Jesus alone paid that price. To receive salvation, simply ask the Lord to save you in Jesus' name while believing in your heart that He alone can save you, and He will. If we can help you with your salvation or to direct you to a local church, please do not hesitate to contact us. For additional helpful resources, including our new TV series, more information, or to donate and support this crucial ministry, please visit us at woundedspirits.com. May God bless you.